matters to painters, musicians, and photographers. But what does it have to do with investing? Hi, I'm Rob West. The Creation Account suggests that beauty lies at the core of faithful stewardship and investing as well. I'll talk about investing in beautiful today with Jason Meyer of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, joining us again today is my friend Jason Meyer, Executive Director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. The Eventide Center is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management and an underwriter of this program. Jason, always a delight to have you with us.
Hey, Rob. Good to be with you again.
Investing, Jason, is a word we tend to associate, of course, with money, retirement, risk, and return, but rarely, perhaps if ever, do we think the words investing and beauty. So, Jason, why should we connect beauty with our approach to investing?
Yeah, man, this is one of my favorite topics. So, you know, just to start, we, of course, all experience beauty, and beauty is something that we all need as human beings. You know, this morning I watched a beautiful sunrise on a clear day. I enjoyed a pour over coffee from a specialty coffee roaster that was delicious. This weekend I watched a masterpiece movie from a Japanese filmmaker I like. And we all have these experiences, right, in our lives. We often, though, think about these beauty experiences as taking place during our leisure time.
Yes.
And so we tend to pair beauty with really rest and Sabbath. And so, you know, we for example, take time to go to an orchestra performance, or on the weekend we hike the mountains or stroll along the beach. We might buy a bouquet of flowers to adorn our home. Mm. Rarely do we think about beauty in association with ordinary human work and therefore with things like business and investing. But Beauty matters for our work. In fact, it's essential for our work. And I want to help make the case that it matters also for our finances and things like investing. Beauty is an essential characteristic of God's creation, and that makes it central to our work as stewards over God's good creation.
Well, I love this idea. Let's talk about the place of beauty in creation, perhaps as a starting point. Jason, where do we see beauty in the Genesis account of creation, and how is beauty connected with work in creation?
Right. So it's helpful to start first with God's work in creation and the connection of beauty there. So This is something we're very familiar with as Bible readers, and we just take it for granted that God is actually portrayed as a worker. He creates everything that exists. He creates, it says, the heavens and the earth, which is a way of saying everything. And everything that God makes is good. And this is something that the Genesis 1 account really wants us to see. It says seven times in Genesis chapter 1 that creation is good. And the last instance of that, it says that the whole creation is very good. And in the Hebrew derivation, the word good is a word pronounced tov, and it's translated as good in our English Bibles. It's a word that's actually very rich with meaning. So it means, of course, moral perfection. So it's good in a moral sense. Creation is morally perfect. There's no evil. It's good in a functional sense. So creation is functionally excellent. It's useful for sustaining life and God's creatures. But one of the things we miss is that it's also good in a sense that it is surpassingly beautiful. When God creates, he looks at his creation. It says he sees it and declares it good. He appraises it as good. It's very much like, you know, this springtime, we're out cutting the grass. And when we get done cutting the grass, we don't immediately go inside. We look it back over what we just accomplished. Yes. And we feel that it's good. We see it as beautiful. And that's the idea. It's this aesthetic, evaluative, pleasurable kind of experience that God had. And so one scholar actually says that a better translation of that word good would be actually a compound word, beauty good. Mm. So God is portrayed as a wise artisan, artfully crafting the world. And in fact, Eden means delight. So the Garden of Eden was a place of delight.
I love that. Beauty in the creation. But how about beauty in our work? And what about in business and investing? We'll talk about that with Jason Meyer from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing just around the corner. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Sometimes we talk more about the Bible than listen to the Bible. Just listening to an extended passage can teach us a lot. I'm going to stop talking, so listen. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It isn't proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. This is God's Word. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, Jason Meyer, Executive Director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management and an underwriter of this program. Today, we're talking about beauty in God's work, beauty in our work, but also beauty found in business and investing. And Jason, just before the break, you were talking about beauty as an essential aspect of God's work, but what about our work that He ordained us and created us to do? Where do we see beauty connected to our work in the creation account?
Right. So we just got done talking about God's work and how beauty was an aspect of God's work. So God creates, He looks at the things He made, He sees that they're good and declares them to be good. It is actually into this context that God places humanity and then gives us our role to play, which is this gift of work that He gives us. Now, as we think about the beauty and majesty of God's creation, you know, we think, who could add anything to it? And the Bible here is very surprising because it says that we are capable of adding to this beauty and goodness to the world through our work. The place that we see this is in Genesis 2:15. So God places humanity right there in that garden of delight, Garden of Eden, and gives us the gift of work. It says, then the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. Essentially, God placed humanity in this very good creation, and then the thrust of these instructions is that he's telling them to make it even better through the things that we make and that we add to the world.
Yeah, which raises the question, if God's creation was already very good, essentially perfect, then how can we improve on it?
Yeah, this is one of, I would say this is just a really great insight that has come to me through books over the years, is that God's creation was absolutely perfect, but it's perfect in a very particular way, okay? So it's perfect, as I'll explain, it's filled with potential, okay? Let me explain. So we know that God made the world beautiful and good, as we've been discussing. Part of that beauty, we can see with our own eyes. It's manifest in the world that God made and kind of the raw materials of creation. We can see it. And part of the beauty and goodness of God's creation is hidden within creation as a yet undiscovered potential that it has, and that we are to uncover this potential through our work. Hmm. So the early church father, St. Augustine, described this potential as seeds. So creation has potential like seeds have potential. And it's the task of us, God's image bearers, to find this potential and through work to develop it and to bring it forth into new kinds of beauty and goodness that has been lying hidden within God's creation. So let me give you some examples just to illustrate this.
Okay.
A couple of easy ones. So bread and wine. God creates grain, and grain has always had the potential to become bread since the day that he made the wheat. God placed that potential there so that we would discover it and make it manifest through our work. Hmm. Or grapes have always had the potential to become wine through our work. These are just easy examples of the way in which we have created new things, new good things out of God's good creation. Let me give you now maybe a sophisticated example, one that is relevant in the world of business and investing today. So take semiconductors that power all of our smart devices and computers and cars and you name it.
Yeah.
The fundamental material used to create semiconductors is sand.
Hmm.
And as my colleague Christian Say, who covers semiconductors in his work at Eventide Asset Management, he puts it this way. He said, with semiconductors, what we're doing essentially is we're taking sand and we're teaching it how to think.
Wow.
We're taking sand and teaching it how to think.
Yeah.
Sand has always had the potential to become semiconductors, even back in that ancient Garden of Eden, because God planted it there as a potential, as a seed in his beautiful and good creation for us to discover and to develop so that the world would be made even more delightful for us.
Yeah.
And so that all the glory of creation would be revealed, like all that hidden potential would be brought forward, and that God's reputation as the creator would be made even more famous and glorious.
Yes.
Let me give you one little final analogy to help solidify this in our minds. I love this analogy. It comes from one of my favorite theologians, Craig Bartholomew. He says, imagine that you are a sculptor. So Rob West, the sculptor.
Yeah.
And Michelangelo says to you, the great sculptor, he says, look, he gives you a phone call and he says, look, I've just started work on this new sculpture, this major, major sculpture, but I want you to come and finish it for me. I want you to come and to complete the sculpture and to develop the potentials I've built into it so far so that when it's done, this sculpture will enhance my reputation in the art world. Bartholomew says, that illustration is an illustration of what God intended with work in Genesis 1 and 2.
Wow, that is powerful. What an analogy. And I'd love for you, though, Jason, to help us translate this biblical picture of work that you just articulated so well to the modern world now of business and investing. What does that look like?
Yeah. You know, if we are to be Christians who have a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, then that means that we need to see the worlds of business and investing with Christian eyes. We actually need to view them in light of this biblical vision for work. This is the true story of work, the biblical story. So the Genesis instructions to develop the beauty and goodness of creation are the very same instructions that we have for work for humanity today. This is still God's design. This is still his desire for our work in business and investing, even though very far removed from that Genesis garden picture. And so we must ask ourselves, how can the specific work of business and investing contribute beauty and goodness to creation? And I want to suggest a couple answers to that. So business is called to create products that are good. You know, we have this language for products in business. We call them goods and services.
Yeah.
And I think that's no accident. The products of business in God's design are intended to be genuinely good, right? The products of business in God's design are intended to genuinely be a service to humankind. So humanity through business is to create goods that are truly good and services that truly serve. So that's what I would say about business. And what about investors? How does investing enhance the beauty and goodness of God's world? So investors are called to supply the capital that enables and enlarges this good work of business to create those goods and services. So when we're contemplating investing, we need to think about these things and ask, is this prospective investment that I'm thinking about making, is it going to be in companies that are creating goods and services? These are things we should embrace. And we should be asking, in a fallen world, are there any companies that actually are diminishing God's good creation that I should seek to avoid investing in? These are things I think we should avoid.
Yeah, and the exciting thing is there's a whole industry of Christian faith-based investments that have been raised up to make it easier for us to either avoid companies whose products run counter to this biblical vision or avoid while also targeting the good, looking for companies who meet human needs and enhance the world. So, Jason, how can our listeners get more information about faith-based investments?
Yeah, we've put together two resources for you today. The first is an article on beauty and investing, like we've been talking about. The second is a list of faith-based investments that are out there. And to get that, you can go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi, F-I.
This has been incredibly enlightening. Jason, thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure, Rob. See ya.
All right, check it out today, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today with whatever you're thinking about financially, or if you have a testimony, perhaps you'd like to share how God is at work in your financial life. We'd love to hear that as well. Again, lines are open today. We're ready for you at 800-525-7000. Let me also just mention again that website. I'd love for you to check out the Center for Faith and Investing. If you go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi, that's Faith F-I, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. You can download a free resource there on our opening topic today, Invest in Beautiful. But this is an educational initiative, the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. There's nothing to sell you there. It's just to help you grow in your understanding of being a faithful investor and perhaps thinking about the intersection of your faith with your investments. And a lot of the resources that you'll receive from the Eventide Center, I think, will really be encouraging to you. We also hear from so many of you who are looking for your options for faithful investing, both mutual funds and ETFs. Well, you'll find a listing of a lot of those mutual and ETF fund families there at the Eventide Center. In fact, the resource that's available for download right now, absolutely free, has not only an article on the opening topic, but all of those mutual fund and ETF investment families that you can read more about. And so those of you who are calling and inquiring and writing to us and saying, man, I really want to know more about being an investor that aligns with my biblical values, well, today's resource could be really helpful to you as you grow in that understanding and find practical next steps to engage with fund and ETF investment families to take a next step. So check it out today, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. All right, we're going to take your calls in just a moment today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Also, a little later in the broadcast, we'll be hearing from Bob Dahl. It's Monday, and Bob stops by at the beginning of each week to give us his insights on what's happening in the markets and the economy as we start a new week. From a business standpoint, the market's starting off fairly strong today as the regional banks are rallying after news of First Citizens buying a large chunk of the failed Silicon Valley Bank, and that's pushing all of the regional banks higher, the market reacting positively to that. But what else is on the docket for this week? Well, Bob will tell us what he's looking at as a Wall Street veteran and somebody who's managing billions of dollars for investors in the markets. He'll give us his weekly commentary. That's coming up in our final segment today. All right, let's begin with Brian in Texas. Brian, how can I help you, sir?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for your call.
Good. So I got a question for taxes here, and I'm kind of wondering if I should even file. You know, I shouldn't condone what God has condemned, and I know that we need to surrender to Caesar what is Caesar's.
Yeah.
But if my taxes aren't going to Christian-oriented things, should I be filing taxes?
Yeah. You know, I think this is it's a great question. And I think, you know, we see clear, admonition in Scripture that we are to submit to the governing authorities. I mean, it's clear in Romans 13, for there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And so we are then to file our taxes appropriately and pay what we legally owe. That doesn't mean we necessarily are in agreement with everything that's being done with those dollars, but that submission to authority ordained by God is something I think we're commanded to do. I think there's also another perspective to this, Brian, and that is that taxes are symptomatic of provision. And so there's an opportunity, again, separate from the use of those funds, there's an opportunity to say, God, I want to celebrate the fact that the reason I'm paying taxes is because of your income, your provision in my life that comes directly from you. So this doesn't mean you're condoning decisions that are being made. It just means you're simply submitting to God's authority. Another way to look at it might be when we give. You know, God has commanded us to give. He said we should give as we've been prospered, and we should give as an act of worship, and we should give cheerfully, and I believe we should even give sacrificially based on the story of the most famous giver in the Bible, the widow who gave out of her poverty. But that doesn't mean when we give to somebody in need, we're responsible for what they do with it. They may take it and use it for something that doesn't align with God's heart, and that would be disappointing. And yet, that doesn't mean we stop giving just because the person that we're giving it to may or may not use it in a certain way that's God-honoring. And so I think the idea is that we say, God, I'm going to be responsible with what passes through my hands. And it doesn't mean I should be foolish with it. But in the case of my generosity or paying my taxes according to the authorities that you've set in place, I'm going to do that cheerfully. I'm going to do that with gratitude to you for the provision, because that taxes are symptomatic of that provision. And I'm going to trust that, you know, Lord, you are on the throne, and that we live in a fallen world, and there's always going to be decisions being made this side of heaven that are not in line with God's heart and God's commands. And I don't think that, though, gives us an out with regard to this mandate that we see clearly in Scripture. But give me your thoughts.
Well, I was just, you know, I know we should abide by the government and stuff like that because they were established by the Father. But with that being said, if they're going directly against the Father, you know, how much should I, you know, I mean, I can't obey if they're going against the Father. You know what I'm saying? So, but I do understand what you're saying. If it leaves my hand, I shouldn't worry about what happens to it after that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the big idea here, is that we need to be wise. We need to even be shrewd. We see that in Scripture. We certainly don't want to pay any more than we have to. And we need to do our part in showing up at the voting ballot and expressing our values there. But I think we also have to pay our taxes. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom Advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net and sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. Here on a Monday, we'd love to hear from you. We've got a few lines open. Our team is standing by to take your call at 800-525-7000. We also receive emails from you regularly. We're grateful when we do. They come into us at askrob@faithfi.com. We received one recently from Abigail. Let's take that now before we head back to the phone. She writes, "My husband's brother makes a ton of money, but he never has enough to pay his bills. So my in-laws lend him money and he can't pay it back. The problem is there will never be enough money to save them if my brother-in-law doesn't get his act together. Part of me says it's none of my business, and part of me says do something. What do you think?" Well, after praying for wisdom, all you can do is counsel your in-laws gently and in love, Abigail, that they're really not helping your brother-in-law by continuing to bail him out. And this is really tough. I mean, I don't pretend that this is easy by any sense, but as you and I know, Abigail, he needs to experience the consequences of his poor money management before he's ever going to accept that he has to make some changes. And so I think it's really critical that perhaps you have that conversation that says, I think you need to look at this from a different perspective. And if they're going to not allow these decisions to continue to take them down a path that's going to become more serious over time, you're going to have to exercise some tough love. And, you know, if they want to help, perhaps they reserve that help for ways that are productive. And so one of those might be, listen, if you all, you know, will pay off a certain amount of debt, we'll match it. We're not just going to give you money to use freely. You know, you could say, listen, if you'll sit down with a third party and get a budget and demonstrate you're going to live on that for a period of time, you know, we'll help in a certain way. But just ongoing support, you know, in a sense that is being used to continue down a path of poor money management decisions and discipline, I think is not what's going to be helpful at the end of the day for your brother-in-law and his wife. So I think that conversation is very appropriate. I would be prayerful about it, just asking the Lord to give you wisdom as you have that conversation and to really walk alongside you as you really help them to perhaps see something that they've been missing. Let's take Diane's question. She writes, "What's your opinion on what portion you should tithe from your Social Security payments, from all or half of it?" That's a great question. You know, we hear from a lot of folks that want to know what to do in the case of the tithe, because here's the reality. When it comes to Social Security, if you're wanting to give on your increase, we recognize that not all that you receive from Social Security is your increase. Clearly, you paid in through your FICA taxes to Social Security. But keep in mind, it's going to be very difficult for you to calculate the percentage, because not only is there growth in that, a portion of it is beyond a return of capital, but it has appreciation over time. There's also the portion that your employer paid in, which you may or may not have already tithed on. And so the way I really have approached this is just to say, you know what, we see everything that God gives us as a gracious gift of his provision. and then we tithe on it out of that. But at the end of the day, I think this is between you and God to determine what is the appropriate amount. Now, keep in mind, I would counsel you that the tithe is really the beginning point of our giving. You know, we're no longer under the law of Moses, and so I think we can certainly apply the principle of the tithe to give a tenth on our increase as God provides, starting with his bride, the local church. But I think Jesus clearly raised the bar in every area, including our giving. And those of us who have seen what he's done on our behalf on the cross to reconcile us to the Father, I think as an expression of our gratitude for that, one of those expressions should be our worship through our giving. And so the tithe, really, as my friend Randy Alcorn says, should be the training wheels of giving, the beginning point. So then we give sacrificially beyond that. And if that's the approach that we're taking, we could say, okay, we're going to give on this full amount of the Social Security receive, or a pension check, or retirement benefits, or income through part-time work in a retirement season of life, and just say, God, all of this is your gracious provision, and so we want to give on our increase back to you. But then we want to look for ways to increase our giving. And here's the reality. As we do, we're going to experience God's joy and God's pleasure and satisfaction, I think, that we can't receive any other way. Because here's what happens when we give. Number one, God gets the glory. Because we're giving, holding his resources loosely, saying as a tangible demonstration of our trust, God, I can give a portion of your provision to me back to you because I trust that you're going to continue to provide for me. And that's really clear. Number two, we draw closer to the Lord as we respond to his leading. I think through that act of dependence and trust in him through our giving. I think thirdly, we become more like Christ. We experience his love and his joy and his peace. I also think we're more like God the Father. We were created in God's image and he's the ultimate giver. So we're most like him when we're giving. Four, we have the pleasure of seeing God use us for good in the world. You know, when our giving is connected to the places where God is at work, we can know that we're a part of that. We're invested in it. We're participating in God's activity. What incredible joy we can have when we see God's resources not stopping with us as a reservoir, but flowing through us as a pipeline back into God's activity. That's one of the privileges he bestows upon us, and that is to be a participant, an active participant in his work. And then fifth, we proclaim the good news of Jesus, the ultimate giver. You see, we can take our resources that he's entrusted to us and actually connect them to where the gospel is being shared. What an incredible opportunity for us to participate in the proclamation of the gospel, not only with our words, but through our financial support. And so perhaps today you ought to think about your own generosity and how it can become not an obligation, but really something that's an expression of your gratitude to the Lord for all that he's entrusted to us. You know, we've been given so much. So often we can focus on the dollars and cents. And don't get me wrong, this is a very challenging season for many of you out there right now as we go through high inflation and as we head toward the prospect of a recession. And there's some of you that are listening right now that are in a really desperate financial situation, and I get that. And this is an opportunity for you specifically, for the body of Christ, to rally around you and be part of the hands and feet of Jesus that are meeting your needs. But for many of us, we have more than we need, and this is an opportunity to say, I'm going to step forward and perhaps think about how I can do even more. Because as you give generously, here's what's going to happen. It's going to break the grip that money can have over our lives. You know, if something's going to compete with God for first position in our lives, it's most often going to be, according to the way I read scripture, money and the things that money can buy. Well, you know, one of the clear anecdotes to that is generosity. It literally breaks the grip of money over our lives. It frees us from seeing ourselves as dependent upon us and transfers that dependence through a tangible act back to where it should be, trust in the Father. In the midst of uncertainty, we can trust the Lord. He will provide. His promises are true. His mercies are new every morning. So perhaps today you ought to think differently about your generosity. Maybe it's time to step it up a bit. I'm talking to myself at the same time I'm talking to you. Hey, I hope that's been an encouragement to you. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bob Dahl's with us, plus your questions. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Are you running away from God? Lots of things can cause people to turn their back on God. Maybe you feel God let you down. Maybe you got tangled in sin, or maybe you just got busy with life. Do you remember the story about the prodigal son in the Bible? When this wayward son returned home, he was met with open arms by his dad. That's the way your Heavenly Father feels about you. Come back to God. He's waiting for you. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Think how different your life would be if you really believed that you, little old you, were a person whom Jesus loves. You let that settle in your heart and it blows you away every time you think about it. Wow.
Discover how to have a life that really matters. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West, your host. We'll be taking your calls and questions in just a moment here as we round out the final segment of the broadcast today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Bob Dahl joins us each Monday. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, sharing his weekly investment commentary. Bob, well, the week's off to a good start. It looks like the banks are rallying. Why so?
I think a sigh of relief, Rob, that nothing went haywire over the weekend. People are breathing that sigh of relief. And look, they're oversold, and more and more analysis suggests that this is probably pretty contained. It's not like 08, 09. Yeah. And so people are saying, particularly the big quality banks, I think I ought to own some more at this price.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Bob. Well, that's certainly encouraging because when we have a couple of days with the market off, who knows what's going to happen, right? But good news as we start the week. Obviously, the Fed always front and center. And, you know, as we pore over their comments after any one of their meetings, folks take very seriously every word. What was the change that you spotted in the most recent comments?
I think the change, perhaps obvious to people, is prior to the banking crisis and therefore last week's meeting, the thought was ongoing increases in the Fed funds rate are appropriate. Now they're saying some additional firming policy may be appropriate. So the words are softened somewhat as they have this difficult, difficult job of balancing on the one hand, fighting inflation, and on the other hand, making sure our banking system's okay.
Yeah, very good. Bob, in your opinion, have they gotten ahead of themselves at this point? I mean, is this going to result in a few more cracks in the system, or do you feel like we're resilient enough to handle the pace and severity of the increases?
Well, actually both. That is, I think the system is strong enough to be able to handle other, I use the phrase, bumps in the night.
Yeah.
And my guess is we're going to have more bumps in the night. Remember, Rob, we said so many times, when a central bank raises rates from 0 to 4.75 in 12 months, there are consequences. We just don't know what they are, when they're going to pop up, and what kind of short-term damage they're going to do. So I don't think it's straight onward and up from here. We're going to have more issues. And the next shoe to drop could be a recession. We just don't know yet.
Yeah, very good. Bob, obviously, earnings season just around the corner. What are you expecting there?
Well, consensus expects -5% for the first quarter. I suspect if that's not accurate, it's probably a little on the high side. And the big surprise is consensus estimates for financials is that their earnings will be up 6%. I think they're taking a wait and see. I don't know what to use, so they're not changing their numbers. I'd be shocked if the numbers came in that good for the financial sector.
Okay. And then what about just general economic activity on the international front?
Yeah, reasonably good. As we've said several times, Rob, the absence of the severe winter and high energy prices or inability of supply has made Europe do a bit better, and China continues to open up despite all the political noise around China, the lifting of the zero COVID restrictions from their economy is improving things in that part of the world.
All right, Bob, tie a bow on it. As we start a new week here, what are you really focused on?
So I leave listeners with the fact that stocks are generally mixed as the Fed gets the peak Fed funds. It's when the Fed lowers rates that the stock market tends to struggle, because that's when we get the biggest earnings estimate cut. So if there's a recession in front of us, and I think higher than 50% probability, we're probably just going to bounce along here at best 3,800 to 4,200 in the S&P. But if we break out of that range, it's probably to the downside for a brief period.
Very good. Bob, always appreciate your insights, my friend. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Say you the same. Bye-bye.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Sign up for his Dahl's Deliberations, his free weekly investment commentary, when you visit crossmarkglobal.com. That's crossmarkglobal.com. All right, let's round out the broadcast today with your questions. We've got a few lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Dee Dee in Alabama. Dee Dee, go right ahead.
Is Social Security taxable?
Yes, are you wondering, and I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Dee Dee, it sounds like we've got some static on your line. You're wondering specifically about when you have to pay taxes on your Social Security benefits, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So the law says is that you will pay as an individual taxes on up to 50% of your benefits when your income is between $25,000 and $34,000. So this would be income in addition to your benefits. So that's going to be wages, interest, dividends, other taxable income that has to be reported on your tax return, Dee Dee. And so if you've got income that would be reported between $25,000 and $34,000, then you're going to pay taxes on your Social Security benefits of up to 50%. If you have income, like I described, of more than $34,000 as an individual in this year, 2023, you'll pay taxes on up to 85% of your benefits. But if you're below that $25,000 mark in income, in addition to your Social Security benefits, then you will not pay taxes on Social Security. I hope that helps you. I was having a little trouble hearing you, but hopefully that gives you the information you need. If we can help you further, don't hesitate to give us a call back. Let's head to Dennis in Texas. Dennis, go right ahead, sir.
Okay, well, it's the first time caller.
Great. Glad to have you.
Oh, thank you. It just, I'm 70 years old.
Okay.
And I am getting Social Security. And I do have a 214K account that I haven't done anything with. So I need to get back with cons.
Okay.
Yeah. So not getting anything from that.
Okay. And yeah, are you wondering, Dennis, how to invest that 401k or something else?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Very good. And is that with a previous employer?
Yes, with Conn's Appliances.
Okay. And you're no longer employed there. You're fully retired. Is that right?
Well, I'm supposed to be with Retro Fitness, but I got laid off about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And they're supposed to be coming in big to Mesquite area. And haven't
yes.
heard anything from them.
Okay, very good. But the company that the 401k is with, you're no longer there, correct?
Oh, no. I was with them for 15 years.
Okay, very good. And how much do you have in that 401k, if you don't mind me asking, Dennis?
Oh, about $30,000.
Okay, very good. And are you drawing an income from that? Are you pulling anything out on a monthly basis? You're just letting it sit?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Yeah, so I think you've got a couple of options. One is you could leave it right there, and the key would just be to make sure that the investments that you have in there are appropriate for your age and risk tolerance. Typically, as a 70-year-old person, a lot of times in the past, we would say you'd take 100 minus your age, and that would be how much you'd want in stocks, and you'd put the balance in bonds. This was just a kind of rule of thumb that we would use. So that would mean, well, at age 70, we put 30% in stocks, and we'd have maybe 70% in bonds and fixed income type investments. As people are now living longer, life expectancy is increasing. We now typically use 110 minus your age. Again, just a rule of thumb, but that would put your stock allocation up at around 40%. And the idea would be, Dennis, especially for an account that you don't need, this is money you just want to grow, take care of, offset the effects of inflation in the future so that if you needed it for some unexpected expense, maybe you needed some long-term care for a short period of time, or you wanted to give it away or leave it as an inheritance, and we want to protect it and grow it, because if it's sitting in cash or money market, it's actually losing purchasing power because of the effects of inflation. And so for that reason, we might take 40% and put it in stocks, which would provide a growth component to the portfolio, and then take the balance of it and put it fixed income type investments, typically more stable. This has not been the year, the last 12 months, for stability in fixed income just because of the rapid rises in interest rates, which has caused pressure on the bonds. But typically more stable, more income generating, and the combination of the two should give you a fairly conservative portfolio with not a lot of volatility, but where it could grow over time. And so if you wanted to leave it there, what you might want to look for is one of the life cycle funds that could allow you to invest it, but where it's automatically going to get more conservative over time. Or you could ask them for some direction on a fund that's balanced meaning a mix of stocks and bonds, and tell them that you're looking for something with 30 to 40% allocation to the broad stock market and with 60 to 70% to the broad bond market. And they could direct you on a mutual fund to give you proper diversification with that type of allocation. I think that might be a great way to go. And then you could just leave it there. The other option would be to roll it out to an IRA where you'd have more control over it. And our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could help you with that if you need some assistance on picking some funds. So I hope that helps you, Dennis. Thanks for being a first-time caller today. All the best to you, sir, and may the Lord bless you. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. I sure enjoyed being with you today. I hope you come back and join us tomorrow. Thank you to Pat, Robert, and Devin. Couldn't do it without them. We'll see you then. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.